Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast, is brought to you today in part by Audible, offering anytime, anywhere listening of your favorite audiobooks with the biggest selection ever, and it's all backed by Amazon. All too often, I find myself thinking about the late Amy Krauss Rosenthal, her books, and her impact on the world. And once again, her name found its way into my inbox this week. And once again, I felt the weight of my heart to share. Amy wrote in Uni the Unicorn, one of my favorite picture books of hers, quote, "Luckily, there was a bright ray of hope from the one unicorn who believed that little girls were real." The audiobook versions of both Uni the Unicorn and the sequel, Uni the Unicorn and the Dream Come True, just released last week, and they're read by Paris Rosenthal, Amy's daughter. It would be worthwhile for you to give these books a listen. I know I'm glad I did. Visit the show notes for this episode at allthewonders.com to start your free Audible trial and support the podcast with the same click of a mouse or tap of a screen. I hope you'll go try it out and see for yourself. Happy listening. Meet Janie Ho. She loves colors. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 405 of the podcast with Janie Ho. We have a fair number of board books in our house that are graced with Janie's art. My daughter's favorite probably being Snuggly Puppy. Not to be confused with Snuggle Puppy by Sandra Boynton, although that's also a favorite. I'm sensing a theme. Janie's debut picture book is called Bear and Chicken. And it's about a bear who finds a chicken frozen in the snow and takes the chicken inside to warm it up. The chicken presumes she's being warmed up to become the bear's next meal. The tension Janie builds in her art as the story progresses is totally squirmy-wormy and makes for the best reactions in readers when you share it with them. I love books like this. We talk a lot about fears and colors. I can't wait to share our conversation with you. Here's episode number 405 of the podcast with Janie Ho. Welcome to the podcast, Janie. I am glad we got time to work, that we got time to talk.
Yes, thank you for having me, Matthew.
We connected, I know you know this. Why am I saying this? Maybe just because I love shout outs and I love connection to people. But we connected because of Katie.
Yes, shout out to Katie. Grandmother Thorn.
And yes. Picture of the book. All of you great folks who are like, I got a new picture book. Let's all celebrate. I am so honored to have gotten to work with Katie at All the Wonders, and through Katie and through other friends. Like Hannah Barnaby, I've gotten to know Picture the Book, and all these people with debut picture books in this great little cadre celebrating each other, and I see your work on Twitter, and everyone sharing and lifting each other up, and it just is so exciting. So let me say, as people will ultimately listen to this when your book comes out or around when your book comes out, let me say hi to the Picture the Book folks and just how, from an outsider's perspective, how wonderful it is that you, Janie, and everyone in this group are so good about lifting each other up and celebrating each other. It really, it's what it's all about, and I love that spirit. And so I'm glad coming into this conversation that in that way I know you and I know the people you hang out with, because you're all such kind, loving, giving people.
Oh, yes, they've been amazing. Picture the Book group. We have a private Facebook group where we are talking about our ups and downs on this journey together. So I'm really grateful for the people there. So, yes.
Oh, no. Well, I hope the downs are minimal and the ups really wonderful.
It's a ride. It's definitely a ride.
I am glad that for your part of the ride, for this book launch, that I get to talk to you. Janie, thank you so much for sharing your book with me, and also for being on books that my daughter reads all the time. I know that we connected somewhere over social media when she was reading Snuggle Puppy.
Yes.
I just love that you help to make these board books, design these board books, these interactive books that she obsesses over and has me read over and over and over in ways that my son never did. So it was so fun to know that, like, I'm going to talk to Janie, and then, oh my word, her name's on this book and that book and that book. So awesome. Say, but before we get started, my word, here I am, like, already off the rails. Janie, would you mind introducing yourself to the people listening that might not know you yet?
Sure. Well, my name is Janie Ho. I am the author and illustrator of Bear and Chicken. That's coming out really soon. And it's my first debut author illustrator for a picture book. But I've been an illustrator for about 10 years, doing a lot of board books, novelty books. And I also illustrate a lot of stuff in the kids industry, like toys and games and puzzles. So it's been a fun ride so far, and I love my work, so.
You know, I've met a couple individuals like you that are involved in all these different facets of, I want to say, of childhood, of the child, of engaging children in their world and in their sort of pre-reading and reading life and play and creativity life. And that's cool to get in at that level and be able to see the child from that very, very young age. I like that. I like knowing that you've cut your teeth, not just on board books in these novelty books, but in some other things like that. That's cool.
Yeah, Bill, before I was an illustrator, I was a graphic designer and art director, but I've always done stuff for kids. So I've always, you know, been a designer for kids magazines. I was a designer at Scholastic Book Clubs. I did, even textiles design, but I was for a kids' clothing company. So everything I did, even if it's outside of books, it was related to kid in some way. So
why?
It's interesting.
Why kids?
Why kids? I think my art style and my sensibility, and I think of myself as a kid. I don't know if I can do grown-up art. I don't know if I can do, like, grown-up textiles. So if I'm going to do textiles, it's going to have to be for kids. So it's just, I think it's just my sensibility. Just I like the cute stuff. I like the little stuff for kids.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, how perfect that your debut as an author illustrator is so much so written to be one to enjoy both as the author and illustrator, but also for me as a reader with your child. I love Bear and Chicken, and before I jump into too much of, I've got, as you always know, a million billion questions to ask because I loved it. But I want, if you don't mind, maybe if you could just share how you are talking about the book with others. And then I want to jump in and share the things that I see and love as well.
Oh, you mean about Bear and Chicken?
Yeah, it's you. Do you mind giving, like, a little, in the library we call it a book talk. You know, like a little 1 minute, here's what this book is about. How do you talk about your book?
You know, it's funny. I'm still trying to figure out a nice
I love it.
You know,
That's the best.
fluffy way
Is
to
that one of
like
those?
describe my book, the pitch that they always
Yeah, is that one of
try
those
to
picture the book things like today on the Facebook thread is like, how do I
how
talk about my book that is so close to me and yet I have to dwindle it down to like 30 words or something?
Yes, it's quite hard. I probably should have, know this, how to do this by now, but I don't, but I'm going to try. It's about a bear who finds a frozen chicken that's frozen in the snow, and he brings the chicken home to his cabin in the forest. And the chicken wakes up, and the chicken thinks that bear is going to eat her. And so that is what basically the story is about. And I always tell everybody it has a happy ending, don't worry. But there's a lot of funny things that happen, a lot of food and cooking references as bear and chicken is trying to figure out each other if chicken thinks, bear is a friend or a foe.
That's
So,
right. It has a happy ending because we all know that chicken is delicious. Just kidding. Just kidding.
what?
I love the tension going through this book that we as readers have this knowledge that well, bears do bears eat chickens? Is that a thing that happens? Is this wait, is this bear the entire time, page after page, just setting up to eat the chicken, the preparing the chicken over the stew? That sort of classic brings me back to the classic Disney or no, Warner Brothers cartoon of Bugs Bunny and of
Yes.
Daffy Duck and cooking that rabbit stew.
Yes.
With well, I just have to point out with like bumping into Basil and going, oh yes, Basil, that's what we need, chicken, that's the perfect thing, and warming up the chicken by the fire and doing all these things. That tension that you continue to build throughout the story is one that for me as a librarian is the greatest kind of tension to build with children, because it's the squirm in your seat tension. It's the lean into the book tension. All of that stuff that brings the drama to the story is absolutely what makes books like this my favorite kinds of books. So thank you for the craft that you brought to the table in order to make a picture book that is a read aloud like that with those qualities, Janie.
No, thank you. I mean, it was such a joy when I finally had the book in my hands and I got to share this book with in a story time with a bunch of kids. And just the look on, I think kids, some of them were fearful of what happened. Some already knows what's going to happen and thinks it's the funniest thing on earth. So, you can see the kids' faces and their reactions. I think that's the best part of kind of creating a book and seeing that reaction kind of come right back at you.
Oh yeah, the text. I want to read some of the text. I'll read just the opening text, if you don't mind. But I love the way that the narrator is sort of thinking along with the bear, not with the chicken. It's almost as if the narrator has a side, but to a fault, because it deceives the reader into thinking like, oh, this bear's going to eat this chicken. Let me read what I mean. It starts, "One very cold day, Bear was hungry from his morning walk when he saw a chicken frozen in the snow. How does one defrost a chicken? Thought Bear. Bear burrito-wrapped chicken in his favorite blanket. Chicken woke up to the sound of a hot, crackling fire. Bear smiled, but all Chicken saw were his sharp teeth." I'll stop there. But that play on words constantly is so great. I love it.
And for me as an illustrator, playing with those words, I never thought in a million years I would kind of get to that point. But I finally, as I started to write the story, I finally have a love with playing with words and not just very image driven. So thank you for
How
that.
long, Janie, have you been writing, if I can ask that? I understand your attraction to illustration because of your graphic design background and all that. But when for you did words and storytelling, I mean story, I can't say storytelling because storytelling is through images as well. But when did the words come in for you?
Just very recently, I mean, the idea of this book, these characters,
This
I mean,
book? Holy cow, look
yes,
at
this is
you.
the, well, I haven't really written. I mean, it's like this, the story idea of this book, The Bear and Chicken, came around 7 years ago, but it was through
Okay.
illustration. And I was so afraid of writing, you know, AKA just using words and text, that I was going to do a just a graphic I was going to do a graphic novel that had no words in it, just pure
Some
pictures,
wordless picture book, a
just
wordless
wordless.
graphic novel.
Yes, it was just my, yes, first it was a wordless graphic novel, then it turned into a wordless picture book, but in the end I actually finally started to put text in it, and it's really been recently that I was like, okay, I'm really going to dive in and actually use words to do storytelling. So.
That okay, so just to point that out, there are people that wrestle with words for years and years until they are able to find that voice of an author for whatever age they're writing. I love this notion that really this was the first story where you really put your foot down and focused on writing, but it sounds to me like those stories have been there all along. It's just perhaps not to oversimplify it, but maybe it was just a matter of finding the right words to be able to commit to a page.
Yes, it's getting over my own fear,
Ah,
basically.
yes.
So it was, you're right. It was there all along. These characters lived with me. I knew them for a very long time. I knew their personalities, what their relationship was like. But just to have somebody say, "Why don't you write something?" is very scary for me. I will give you sketches after sketches after sketches of the story. But if you wanted me to put a story in a Word document and send it's going to be very hard for me. So, but for the past few years, I realized that this is something I should get over and do it. And this is the result. So.
So what was there a nudge from a publisher? Was there interest in your art from 7 years ago, to create this into a picture book, or was that something that, as you said, you felt compelled to do it on your own?
No, definitely these characters were, they were originally on a blog banner that I had 7 years ago, and I had so many people just commenting saying, "What is this Bear and Chicken about? Who are these guys? I want to know more. I want to
Really?
know more." Yeah. And as I did another, maybe a couple months go by, I did another blog banner with featuring this bear and this chicken. And people, I mean, I've illustrated for a very long time. I've never had this kind of response from people asking me what is their story. So that really piqued my interest. Like, yes, I really have something here. These characters are unique. They're not generic. They definitely have a story and they want to tell it. So
Wait,
I've
so.
got,
No,
please.
go ahead, say it. You've got
No,
what?
I just got so much encouragement. I mean, publishers, there were people, editors asking me about them. So it was definitely, there was something about them and people were drawn to them and it kind of propelled me to find their story. So.
So I haven't heard a story like that before, Janie, and I want to just point out because of the connections I feel like I'm drawing in my brain, your blog banner functioned in so many ways like a postcard that I know illustrators make postcards, send them into publishers. I know that friends like Giuseppe Castellano will lay out all the postcards that he gets and respond to some or keep some in mind or have those postcards be what perhaps might get you a job making a book. But to
Yes.
know that or to see a real example in you that any art you post anywhere could be used that same way. To hear that you said that there were people going, "Who are these characters? What is their story?" That's exactly the line that I've heard from people at like conferences like SCBWI saying, "That's what you want us to be asking. You want us to be asking more about the illustration that you share." That's so cool that it happened that way. I love that.
Yes, I've done a lot of illustrations back then, and I've kept posting work up. So, but it was just these two characters that I got a very unique response from many different people. So, gotta listen to the people, and I love them too. So, I love these two characters too. I have a lot more stories to tell if my publisher will let me tell them. So,
oh,
yeah, we'll see.
Well, now that we know that, I mean, as we hinted to in the beginning, now that we know that Bear does not eat chicken, you're right. There is room for more stories. That's good.
Yes, I guess if chickens get eaten, then I guess the end.
I have room for more stories. Bear and lamb. Bear right. and no.
Pork chop.
Could you imagine just right. like, this book is so successful. Let's just do the same tricks with a different animal.
Right.
No, I really enjoyed reading your story. And one of the things that first caught my attention, because we were hoping to be able to talk for a while, because when I saw you in February at the Midwinter SCBWI conference last year, we had already been connected through Katie, and I had already known your board books, and I was excited to find out what this picture book was coming out. And then when Running Press sent me a copy, I brought up to you only when we were figuring out a time to talk that I thought it was interesting that on their press release, the book had a different cover than the one that I'm holding, because the one I'm holding, the hardcover that I'm holding, just to describe for people listening so that they know where we're leading with this, is different from what is published. The one I'm holding is a blue cover. We are outside. It is snowing. Bear is smiling, and Chicken is looking up quite nervous. But this design is very different from what ultimately became the final cover art for the book. So would you mind sharing? Which I should say that the final cover art is of Bear behind Chicken, holding Chicken, looking over a pot of stew. It is, if I could bring back to your blog banner, if I could bring back to postcards, it's an image that asks a lot of questions, or that causes me to ask a lot of questions. So when did this change happen in the cover?
Well, this cover changed to happen pretty late in the game, and that's why I think there's a slightly confusion out there. But yes, you're right. The final cover.
I got a limited edition cover, Janie.
You do. That's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. It is a limited edition. well, from the contract that I had to PubDate, it wasn't too long. I could have went another year and really worked on it. But the cover was basically the blue cover, the limited edition cover, was basically what I had when I submitted my dummy to Running Press Kids. And everybody liked it. We were going to go with it. I really loved the color combinations, and I liked the snowy theme. And we got all the files ready, the cover's done, the interior's done. I thought ready to go. But this past summer, I want to say maybe in July and August, the cover was changed because there was some talks about, you know, from the sales team that, yes, it doesn't really reflect the story, the cover, you know, the blue one, how funny it is. And, you know, it just doesn't reflect what's inside. And I was just so amazed that I was able to change this cover. You know, this was this past summer, so 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and my...
Oh, that is late in the game.
It is very, very, very late in the
wow.
game. I did not know it was possible, because Running Press already sent me a big box of my author copies with this blue cover.
With the blue cover.
Yes, so I do have a big box of limited edition covers, but the final... Yeah, the final cover is the one with the soup.
I wonder if for the ones that they printed, if they're just printing new dust jackets, because it's the cover you made, the blue cover, is the colors are gorgeous. The colors are striking. If they're scrapping that cover altogether, then, I mean, if they decide to do more Bear and Chicken books, or offer an opportunity for you to do more Bear and Chicken books, I would say those colors are so striking from the original cover. But it also... I'm like, what do you do when there's lots of, when there's, I don't know how many they printed, but when you're changing the cover. I guess it's something that happens. But it for me, like, I'll have to see if I can get, like, an additional copy with just a different jacket. Because having this original copy, I think, is neat. I can't wait to show my students the new version, the finalized version, along with this original one, because I feel like in that beautiful way, we've been granted an opportunity to talk about why do you think the publisher changed it, and do you agree with their decision, and what does the new cover say about the story? I think that it's a really neat thing. I don't, as a librarian and as a reader, we don't often get to see those changes. So it's kind of a happy accident, I feel like.
It is. I mean, it is. And I'm a little bit partial to the first only because, I've been looking at that cover for so long. I'm really a big color person. So I feel like the color choices was really kind of the kind of art that I wanted to represent. But I know that the new cover is what a cover should be. It kind of like entices the reader to want to find out more and to open the book and really look up, you know, just to give a better hint at what the book is about. So
let me talk to you about colors, by the way, because the new cover you have is awesome. When people see it, like, it is a book that sells from cover alone. So I can't overstate how strong that new cover is. It is one that not only before I read it is it going to be, kids are immediately going to know what the story, what the whole premise is, but it's one that after I read it, I think that image will be what sticks in their mind and what draws them back to the book over and over. It's going to be knowing that image, reading that image. But your colors are really beautiful. I love the palette that you use, and I come from just a background of liking that aesthetic of a nice color set. So, and I know your other books, I know that you like colors too, but yet something that's a little different from what I notice about you versus some other people that I know is there tend to be, I feel, some artists that have a color set that they really love or a, you know, variance that they go toward, and that ends up being what they use. You can sort of tell by the color choices that, oh, I bet this is by this illustrator because I know them for those colors. And yet the three or four books that I know you for have quite different color sets. Is it just that you are an individual that loves color and the way things go together? Or do you have a particular set of colors that you love? I don't even know what I'm asking here. I like colors. I'm like grinning. I don't know if you can even tell. I'm just grinning because I get to nerd out about colors with an illustrator. That doesn't happen in my library life. So talk to me about colors, Janie.
No, I love colors. I mean, you too. So that's a good conversation to have. But when the other books, the Tiny Tat books that you know, I work with Nosy Crow and for a couple of years now. And I have to credit working with Nosy Crow as really improving my color palette in the past few years. But obviously the Tiny Tat books, they're board books and they're younger. And so I do tend to like kind of have a set where it's color set, which is a little bit brighter, a little bit more cheery. And when I was working on this book, I figured this was a picture book at the very least, so it's a little bit older. So I'm trying to push myself to work on a more sophisticated color palette, so to speak.
Okay.
But for me, sophisticated for me means colors like this, you know, in Bear and Chicken. So I know that for other picture book artists, sophisticated means can mean very different things. But my artwork always tends to be a little bit younger anyway. So for me to push myself to be a little bit older, this is the color palette I came up with in Bear and Chicken. So, but working with Nosy Crow has been amazing. They really, I don't know, they really pushed me to try out different things, like, you know, matching a neutral color with the pops of bright color and not to be too scared about other color combinations.
Cool. Well, I can see that to use the word you use, that using a more sophisticated color palette to do Bear and Chicken. I like that it sort of essentially revolves around a primary color theme, but the tints of the colors that you're using end up sort of being a little bit more evocative than just the standard blue, yellow, and red. I like that. For me, at least, from my perception, there was so much of this almost eggshell color running through the book. And specifically, why I bring that up is because there's this one image, the very first, I think I even read to it. When I read the All Chicken Saw Were His Sharp Teeth, you, on a number of different spreads, use this frame, this rounded frame around your illustration that, to me, was evocative of an egg, of playing with this idea of being safe inside an egg or being threatened inside an egg. Eggs are these weird things, right? Because they contain life, and life is protected from the outside world inside this egg, and yet eggs are so fragile that they sort of are threatened all the time. So there's this weird dichotomy of being safe and yet really being threatened all the time. And that is the dichotomy that runs through your book. So I don't know if that was intentional or not, but it was something that I just, over and over, the more I saw those rounded frames, the more I was like, oh man, there's that egg thing coming up again.
That's amazing. I didn't really think of that. I don't think it was a conscious thing, but now I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh yeah, it has that kind of eggshell color, and it is shaped like an egg.
I mean,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it just has it. It doesn't need to be intentional, but it is. Mm-hmm. From my mind, it was just evocative of that feeling. You even have, as I'm noticing it now, as I flip back and forth, as I turn the page, on the first page of that rounded frame, you have the sharp teeth of the bear being all threatening and the chicken burrito being all nervous. And then you flip it, and it's the same rounded frame, and it is bear reaching out, being comforting. So, again, playing with that theme, what a fun thing to see and perceive, knowing that it wasn't necessarily intentional, but is in line with the emotion that you're conveying.
Oh yes, you're teaching me something about my artwork.
You know, I mean, you're teaching me too, because you just designed it. Your artist brain just did this thing; it knew to act on that impulse, and when your editors, your art people, your art directors at Running Press Kids saw that art, and as they worked with you, that they knew as well that it was the right design, that was the right thing. So there's something in you that knows, and that's cool to know that your artist brain is just now like working on autopilot for some design things. That's cool.
Yes, I mean, my work has always been kind of very round and soft, and always kind of edge towards the younger set. So I wonder if, as I kind of work towards older books or older picture books, or even if I ever get into chapter books, how my art would change and if it would get less round. I don't know.
I like the way you do stuff. So I would say don't change, because it's wonderful. But
thank you.
Also make a lot more books so we can have them.
I hope so.
And squiggle in our chair the way I did for this one. So at the end of this book, you included some back matter that I like.
Oh, yes.
Hold on.
Ooh.
Telephone ringing. How do I mute it? Sorry, I'm going to note the time. Sorry, Janie.
That's okay.
30... Isn't it funny that, like, I'm a librarian, but I don't know how to mute my phone? That's a funny thing, right? Yep. I'm hitting the mute button. It's not doing anything.
It never does. It never will.
Who uses house phones anymore? Can I say that? Like, I'm a cell phone person. But house phone is beeping. Anyway, I'm going to jump back in. Is that okay?
It's okay, yes.
Cool. Hopefully the person will not recall at 10:15 at night.
That is pretty late, yes.
Just saying. That's all right. Here we go. So, Janie, I noticed that, you know, in the back of the book you have this back matter. There's this back matter that is a soup recipe. I keep dancing around not spoiling anything. I don't know why I'm doing that.
No.
But I'm just going to say a soup recipe, and also a little bit of background information about black bears and where we find them and what they actually eat. Was that something that for you was there all along in the story? Were you always intending to include that, or did that come later in your book design?
Oh no. I mean, I knew that when I can promote this book, I can have a vegetable soup recipe, but I never thought about having the recipe in the soup. So, which is where Julie at Running Press as a Kid, my editor, came in with that, and to include the soup recipe and also a note about black bears, which I didn't really think about. Black bears are, they're not really, they're mostly vegetarians, and they don't really, they just eat kind of grass and leaves and berries.
Berries,
And
yeah.
yes, and while working on this book, I didn't really make the correlation between, like, a black bear's having that kind of diet and related to the story. So this was all Julie, and this is a fun little side bit, so we had to include that in there. So this was a nice touch.
I'm glad that it does have it there, because I those extensions that you can take and do in your house with your parents, with a class of kids, all those extra little things that add or expand out the world of the picture book is really, that's a nice place to live. That's a nice place to be. I like when we're in those worlds. So yay, yay for that. Yay for
Yay.
editors. Yay for adding
Yes.
little bits here and there. You've got such a great debut, Janie. I'm so excited for it being out in the world and you being out in the world with readers connecting with this book in particular. I hope that you get to connect with many, many readers, and that especially you get to see them squirm as you read this book and hear them
Yes.
giggle, and know that that's the power of picture books and of a great storyteller behind it. You did a really beautiful job.
Thank you. It's the best. It's the best job in the world.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Before I let you go, I'm going to ask you this question about readers to give you a chance to leave a message for them. I'll see a library full of children tomorrow morning. Is there a message, Janie, that I can bring to them from you?
Yes, so I would like them to think about one kind thing that they can do for somebody else, because launching this book and creating this book and my whole journey, it's been a lot of people helping me on the way. So, and it feels good to help others, to put a smile on somebody's face, and it doesn't usually cost a thing. So I hope the kids can think about something they can do, one kind thing they can do for somebody else.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 350 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. And Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with the books they'll love. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect any ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Melissa Stewart shares Can an Aardvark Bark? And talks about the need for expository nonfiction books. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep and I'll see you there.